This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police are still looking for a motive in the Michigan church shooting and fire that left four people dead.
Authorities say the suspect, 40-year-old Thomas Jacob Sanford, is a Marine veteran who served in Iraq. A fundraising website from 2015 indicating his son was born with a rare genetic disorder, the treatment for which apparently took a financial toll on the family. Sanford is quoted in a local newspaper saying, "Don't ever take having healthy kids for granted. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps and was in Iraq, and this is still the most unique thing to deal with."
ABC's Morgan Norwood. Police say Sanford drove his pickup into the church, then opened fire. He was killed by officers. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is at the White House today for meetings with President Trump on ending the war in Gaza. The president will also sit down with Republican and Democratic leaders ahead of a possible government shutdown. Luxury real estate developer Dar Global entering an agreement with the Trump Organization to build another Trump-branded property in Saudi Arabia. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. State lawmakers are introducing bills that would change Wisconsin elections. Both Republicans and Democrats have their own proposals, but they introduced them together at a press conference. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Republican Representative Scott Krug from Nakusa presented the Republican plans. His bills include standardizing dropbox rules, creating standard early voting hours, and new rules for election observers. One of the most notable among his plans, a bill to allow poll workers to begin processing absentee ballots on the Monday before Election Day. Most states allow that, but Wisconsin does not. A similar bill last year was blocked by Republicans in the state Senate.
This package that I'm looking to introduce this week does take into account a lot of the things that President Trump has said about elections. We need safety, we need security, we need to know who voters are, but we also want to make sure that, you know, we understand that we set the line in Wisconsin, that we have our own election system.
Meanwhile, Democrats' proposals largely focus on increasing voter education and accessibility. Under their plan, high schoolers would get voter registration forms and be allowed to pre-register before they turn 18. Their bills would increase accessibility training for poll workers and mandate that elected officials work a shift as a poll worker so they understand the system. Representative Lee Snodgrass from Appleton.
I have seen time and time again my colleagues making false claims about election security or administration. And as I tell people, there's no better way of learning than doing.
Their plans would also increase protection for clerks, their staff, and poll workers. Krug has signed on as an author of three of the Democrats' bills. Lawmakers at that press conference made it clear they don't agree on all these proposals, but they'll get a chance to talk about problems and potential changes when they go through the committee process. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Final score, 40-40. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Cowboys and the Packers battled through overtime, only to have the game end in a 40-40 tie. It was Micah Parsons' first game back against the Cowboys. What was his reaction to the draw?
I'm not even gonna lie, I'm pissed off. I'm very disappointed. You know, I even told Jordan to the side, you know, thank you for having our back today.
So the Packers are now 2-1-1 heading into their bye. Did the Packers do anything different? I asked Cowboys defensive lineman Kenny Clark.
Yeah, it was all the same. I mean, same stuff we expected. 1-2-1 is way better than 1-3.
Baseball, the Brewers beat the Reds 4-2, and now they wait to find out who they'll face in the playoffs. When did they realize that they had turned the season around?
We were going to lose our third game in a row, I believe, in Pittsburgh on a dreary, cold day, and we had 3-0-2 doubles. It was a grinder day, and then since then, I don't know what our record was, but it was really, really darn good.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 81. We're going to keep the sunny, dry weather rolling through the rest of the week, the weekend, and well into next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, Tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways. Yeah. Find some common ground and then expand on that. And then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. If we can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning. It is September 29th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller are both here. Selena Heller has a story about public employees and a solid pension retirement system here in Wisconsin. Same goes in Iowa, but now some Republican politicians have been undermining it. We'll be hearing all about that. And then coming up yet later this morning at 7:35, Raul Pavar works with AI cybersecurity, and we'll have some advice on how to avoid deep fakes and phishing emails. Then at 8:05, we will be talking to Ellsworth teacher Krista Lasecki. Well, I should say former Ellsworth teacher Krista Lasecki. She's one of the people that Congressman Derek Van Orden and other Republicans have had fired as part of the new Red Scare in this country. God forbid you say something critical about Charlie Kirk, who had a lot of critical things to say in his own short lifetime. And this Ellsworth teacher, after a 30-year career, is out of a job because of a congressman who wanted to politicize an assassination. So we will talk to her coming up at 8:05. Then at 8:35, Laura Bird will be here recommending some books for us, especially books that tie in with this week's Day of Remembrance and Reconciliation, about the tragic part of our history revolving Indian boarding schools. So we have a lot to cover, along with the Packers ending up in a tie with Dallas, 40-40, when all was said and done. The Brewers beat the Reds and move on to the postseason. They wait to find out who wins between the Cubs and the Padres. That series starts tomorrow at Wrigley Field, with games Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon, if necessary, to see who will be at American Family Field on Saturday to take on the Milwaukee Brewers. Brittany Merlot is off today. It is time now to play today's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you can win a daily prize of cash and jewelry. And you could be in the running for a grand prize as well. So head over to the Civic Media app and use the text feature so that you can send a text to one of the stations and text us this keyword before 8 a.m. The word is early, as in early morning, E-A-R-L-Y, early. Text us that before 8 a.m. for a chance to win that daily prize, which includes $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. And then one grand prize winner out of all the entries, we'll get two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota play a little football, a Green Bay home game on November 23rd, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the grand prize is more than $1,500. Full contest rules at civicmedia.us. Again, by 8 a.m., text us the word EARLY, E-A-R-L-Y. All right, 7:09 right now, and Selena Heller works on stories for Up North News, but also for some of our other Courier newsroom outlets, including Iowa Starting Line, where Selena, in Iowa, they have, much like in Wisconsin, you know, public employees have a pension or retirement system there. In Wisconsin, We have one of the strongest, most secure, healthy retirement systems in the country. I don't know what the status was in Iowa compared to Wisconsin, but things were working well until some Republican politicians decided to try to undermine things. Do you want to set up the package that you put together that we're going to play?
Sure. Yeah. In Iowa, too, it was pretty highly regarded. IPERS, it's called Iowa Public Employees Retirement System. And yeah, IPERS was a very strong system. It still is. And so, you know, everybody questions, why would we change it? So there's a DOGE task force convened by the Governor Kim Reynolds in Iowa. And she started this task force in February and wanted recommendations today. So they've been coming up with recommendations to cut things in Iowa and supposedly save money. And they've been having meetings. And so one of their meetings earlier this year was talking about one of the big things, the controversies, was changing IPERS. And their recommendations, like I said, is going to, they're all going to come out today, the kind of their final countdown. And so here is, I talked with a few people in Iowa about this. And then I got contacted about from a lot of people who were in the IPERS program after I just asked somebody, you know, can I use your photos? And can I, and then I just had this influx of people that were like, and their slogan is hands off my IPERS. And so I got a lot of people talking to me after that.
It's definitely touched a nerve. Let's give a listen to Selena's report.
37 years, that's how long Terry Dutcher's career as a teacher spanned in Iowa.
So I started teaching at Waterloo West Junior High in 1970.
And if you talk with Terry, you'll find out fast that she cherishes all of the people she met along the way.
A lot of us, we were all together at West Intermediate for probably almost 20 years together. And as I said, I've still in contact with a lot of my former students.
While friendships are a memorable benefit of her nearly four decades as an educator, Terry says she and many of her colleagues live paycheck to paycheck, so it was the benefit of IPERS, or the Iowa Public Employees Retirement System, that paid out respect.
It made me feel appreciated after I retired.
We make an investment in IPERS as a state because these people are very important parts of our public services. So our teachers, all of our state employees, local fire and police, those are incredibly important roles to our communities. We have to show their value by providing a good retirement for them. I mean, that's what they deserve. They deserve our respect.
But a Governor Kim Reynolds handpicked DOGE task force wants to gut Iowa's retirement program. The partisan panel, whose Republican Party already has imposed limits on bargaining rights, is reviving an unpopular idea, replacing IPERS. Right now, IPERS is a defined benefit pension plan that guarantees a lifetime monthly payment based on a formula rather than relying on stock market performance. And there's no one at the table to contest it, even though there are about 250,000 working people in Iowa who are currently contributing to the plan.
It's incredibly frustrating to me that we would have a task force looking at state government and spending and not include any state employees. We only have folks who are working in the private business world, and it's really concerning that folks in the private business world would propose taking away the one thing that makes public employment competitive with their market.
The task force continues to recommend weakening IPERS by reducing future contributions. IPERS is a proven driver of local economies, with 1 in 10 Iowans benefiting from their contributions. It is a fair and equitable system that has proven to be a powerful tool for attracting new employees and retaining the ones we already have.
So we're going to have educators, law enforcement, firefighters, public employees of any kind look at Iowa and say, if this is on the table, I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to move my life here. I'm not going to start a family here if I could lose my retirement benefits in the future.
The most important thing for me was respect and being treated like a professional.
And that really, I mean, we saw that with Act 10 as well, Selena. This whole notion of treating our public employees as second-class citizens is really the sense I get from them from your report.
Right. And you heard that about, it's just about respect. Yeah, we had that change up in 2011 with Governor Scott Walker with the pension program here in Wisconsin. But yeah, that was Senator Sarah Trone Garriott in Illinois. She's from West Des Moines, so she has a lot to say about that. And then the Iowa State Education Association President Joshua Brown. So there's that'll be a lot of talk in Iowa today.
Now, there's nothing that indicates currently that something like that could happen with the Wisconsin employee retirement system. But it is a cautionary tale because, again, in this infatuation with Doge-like things that slash just for the sake of slashing, you make things a lot worse in the long run. And Kristen, you can testify to that from a healthcare standpoint, as well as all the good public employees that you and I know.
They really sell it as we're running things like a business and it's going to be more efficient, but there are consequences. And I think, especially with regards to healthcare, we are about to feel those consequences. We're seeing an average of 18 to 20% of premium increases coming just on the horizon, months away. We know that healthcare is going to get expensive for all of us, and millions of people are about to lose their healthcare. And these are all consequences, not of what Selena's talking about here, but of just this Doge-type cutting that is irresponsible and, frankly, not in the best interest of the people.
No, it's not. We have not yet had a chance to talk to the attack on a Michigan church, a deadly attack there on a Mormon church. And Kristen, you had your show this weekend, which also looked at a school shooting and the ongoing scourge of violence.
Yeah, it's an incredible episode. Two parents of I keep getting the name wrong, Ascension, the Catholic school in Minneapolis where the shooting occurred. They tell their story from walking their son to school to coming back home to what they're doing now in the wake of this. And, you know, here we are a month later and more shootings yesterday. It just continues to happen in this country. So now we've got more advocates and now we've got more Americans who believe in responsible gun ownership, in making sure people can get access to mental health care. And we need to keep pushing forward. So please listen, this is a really important episode, the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Get it where you get your podcasts or listen Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WISS out of Oshkosh Appleton and WGBW Sunday mornings at 9. And again, learn more over at civicmedia.us. And Selena's story is over at Iowa Starting Line. That's iowastartingline.com, part of the Courier Newsroom Network. Whew. You guys are busy. I mean, I just sit here and just give it to you guys and say, what are you guys doing for work? You're getting it all done. Thank goodness. So Selena, I don't understand, much like Parker, I don't understand this not drinking coffee thing. What is your beverage of choice here in the mornings?
Well, you know, before I went to work at like 2 a.m. and they would always laugh at me because I would bring milk.
Milk.
Like, what?
Milk.
What are you doing?
As you work with Anchorman, that was a bad choice. Okay. Well.
Yep. I would bring milk. That's what I would bring.
Strong bones, healthy teeth, good skin. All right. Understandable. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. It's clear and 44 degrees. I've got a couple of mowing jobs near my house today to enjoy the near 80 degree day over the weekend. I went to Tigerton Apple Fest, ate too much, but had a great time. I took a drive around to look at the fall colors, took pictures. It was a great autumn weekend. I hope Kristen enjoyed her Highway 29 drive. There's a song called My Highway 20 Ride, but I changed to Highway 20. I made it up in the early 2000s. Rob says the Packers and Cowboys played the highest scoring tie game in NFL history, 40-40. And he says, going to feel like an extension of summer this week. Yes, obviously it is.
Can we talk about the Packer game for a second? Because it was like, it was back and forth and back. It was one of those games that you had to watch. You were just on the seat of your chair the whole time. And at the very end, they build it as the Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones, what's going to happen? Micah Parsons saved that game for the Packers with a tackle of Dak Prescott. So it all kind of like played out the way that it was supposed to. The drama was real.
But then I see everybody posting who was there. Some of my friends, I had a couple of friends there. They're like, and then a big collective disappointment at the end because nobody won. And it was just all doom and gloom because it was like, no excitement.
Cowboys, you want to beat the Cowboys. But the point well taken, we may not have beaten the Cowboys were it not for Micah Parsons.
That's so, exactly right. So enjoy it.
We definitely have that. All right. Again, you can read more from Selena Heller over at Up North News and on Iowa Starting Line. And Dr. Kristen Lairley has her show on the weekends as well. And still ahead in about 15 minutes, we are going to be talking to an AI technology expert about deep fakes and phishing emails and how to stay safe. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Have you thanked a farmer today? Wisconsin's nearly 59,000 farms contribute over $116 billion annually to our state's economy and over 350,000 jobs. Please join the University of Wisconsin as we host our 12th annual Celebrate Agriculture game on September 20th against Maryland. Sponsored by Cleary Building Corp, Culver's, Case IH, and Compeer Financial. Thank you to our sponsors for making the Celebrate Agriculture game possible.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We're talking grace on the morning show today from WRCO. President Eileen Stevens is here, and I think, you know, the end of August, we got all that money in there, and it's already begun now, the fundraisers for the next year, right?
Most definitely, yes. There's already fundraising going on for the 2026 year-end. We've got Amy Bendel's up there selling flowers. Actually, her fall display, if you haven't been by Bendel Auto and Tire, she's got some beautiful fall flower decorations, displays out there. So be sure to stop in there. We also received a call from the athletic director, Maggie Lansinger, up at Weston Schools. And they've got a fun fundraiser going on. They wanted to do a Pink Out the Gym night. So Monday, October 13th, they're having an event up there. It's their volleyball. It's the JVs at 6 o'clock, the varsity's at 7:15. Everybody wear pink. And what's really cool, I want everybody that goes to be hungry, go to the concessions. They are donating 100% of proceeds. All their proceeds are coming to Grace. Plus, the National Honor Society will be doing a 50-50 raffle, and they're donating that to Grace as well. So that's a fun event coming up. And then the KC Bingo, I know their next two events that they're having, the food concessions, will be donated to Grace. And that's, what are those dates? September, this coming Saturday, whatever that is, September 27th and October 18th. So if you get up to the KC Bingo, the food concessions will be a Grace team donation. And I know of another one down on October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. There's a large garage sale, estate sale on the first farm on the right when you turn on Jelen Lane behind Clary's. So that'll be going on. All proceeds to that will be going to Grace. And I'm not sure, have you guys heard of anything else happening? I know Amy Bendel and Weston are the two key things right now for community events to get out to. So
wonderful. And then you have your annual meeting in October, and you'd like to see a lot of people coming out to that as well.
Yes, yes. The committee's met a couple times, and we are going to have the meeting. It's always October, the third Thursday of October, so this year it's October 16th. It will start at 5 p.m., and it will be held at the Ramada Inn, so in their lower facility or the lower level of the Ramada Inn. At 5 p.m., they'll be setting up a buffet, so it'll be a grilled chicken and grilled steak buffet with mashed potatoes, a vegetable, dinner roll. So we highly encourage all our people. It's our way, the board, to say thank you to all the volunteers for all the hard work they've done. We'll have a recap of the 2025, but we'll have a representative from Gunderson and a representative from UW Carbone. That's when we'll find out how much of our annual total will be donated to those organizations. They split 25%. They split that percentage to go towards their research. So they usually give us a little recap as to what they're doing and what that means. We have team presentations, so everybody will hear the team totals. The annual report will be done. They'll be able to pick that up. We're going to have door prizes. Everybody likes door prizes, so we're going to have some door prizes. We will be doing, we don't know if it's going to be a bucket raffle or a silent auction, but we have some certificates. People have been asking. We've got Pamela Fine Jewelry. We have a certificate from them. We have some escape room tickets to for that auction or raffle, however we're going to do it. We also have the American Players Theater. We have some tickets for them. And, I mean, they're still going yet in late October. So we'll have two tickets. And the show that'll be going on, there'll be 25 opportunities to hit the show for two people. And it's called The 39 Steps. Which is, it's a thriller. It's where the main character finds a corpse in his home. So just an ordinary guy, and he finds out that he's going to become very resourceful in as he's going to be a victim of a manhunt and being pursued by police and a ruthless conspiracist. So it sounds kind of fun. So it's kind of neat for Halloween, I think. So two of those tickets will be available. A couple other things we will have. It is a free will donation, but we are encouraging people, to be thinking about it. When you go out for a buffet that has chicken and steak, you're going to pay $15, $18. So your free will donation, we'd like you to keep that into consideration. Plus, we're doing something different. We've had an anonymous donation of $50. So if you're going to attend this event, you need to call us at 608-604-2900. Or email us at gracelocalcancer@gmail. Let us know you will be in attendance. And at the end of the meeting that night, we will draw for the $50 winner. They must be present, so they must pre-register. They must be present. If they're not there when their name is called, we will call the next person. So we're kind of excited about that. So mm-hmm. You get that in there. And I think, it's just a great opportunity. We encourage the teams to be there. We're going to have the big check there so teams can group together, get their picture taken with the big check with their total on it. So we'll have that for social media to put that out there for the teams. We got our doctors, our representatives coming from UW and Gunderson. Also we'll have a representative from Richland Hospital with a donation, the community grant that they received. And
just a celebration of the past year, isn't it?
It is. It is a celebration of the last year. So we encourage people to come so we can thank you in person for being part of it. And I mean, $400,000+, this service area is extraordinary. I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, I know it. It just hasn't hardly even sunk in yet, the amount of money. The first time that when the number was brought up to me, Marge brought that up during grace, and it was like 200 and some thousand, and I just about fell over. And then, of course, it doubled since that time. So pretty amazing.
Growing.
Yeah, it kept
just
growing.
Like a little zucchini in the garden.
Yes, it did. Going back to your zucchinis in your garden, Alan. Some other things that you wanted to add, Alan.
Yes, just one more thing on the annual meeting, too. We'll have our annual report there as well.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Dairy producers thought changes to the federal milk marketing orders would improve their position in the marketplace. It hasn't. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and their voices are being heard in Washington, D.C. Zippy Duval is the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation.
The news is not good when it comes to what we call make allowance. The make allowance determines what is deducted from farmers' check to help pay for the cost of processing. In just 3 months, America's dairy farmers have lost more than $337 million because of the increase in make allowances. USDA is now required to survey processors' costs every other year, but has yet to announce a timeline. We urge USDA to move quickly to schedule the new cost survey so that future hearings reflect the actual processing costs.
Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. What happened to the dairy markets on Friday? I've got numbers next.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel, all in, all season.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 2.25 cents to 162.25. 40-pound block cheese down a penny and a quarter, 162.5. But AA butter on Friday finished the week another 8 cents stronger at $1.72 per pound. This morning in Chicago, October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 7, $16.86. November up 21 at $16.39. Currently, December new crop corn, that's down a penny, stands at $4.21. November new crop beans, down 3.5 at $10.10. July wheat, currently up a half at $5.61 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Monday trade session. Remember, World Dairy Expo 2025 officially opens to the general public tomorrow morning starting at 9 a.m. Follow the Midwest Farm Report team at MidwestFarmReport.com or any of the social media streams you follow. I'm Pam Yonke.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 81. We're going to keep the sunny, dry weather rolling through the rest of the week, the weekend, and well into next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matinere joins us for Matinere Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back at 7:35. A reminder of our keyword for this morning's early edition of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Early edition because that's the keyword, early, E-A-R-L-Y. Use the Civic Media app and text us the word early before 8 o'clock, and you will be entered for the daily prize drawing, which is cash and some gold jewelry, and every entry can get you the grand prize, tickets to see Green Bay play Minnesota. Play some football in Green Bay in November. Some nice indoor seats available. Details at civicmedia.us. But again, before 8 o'clock, text us the word early. Then you'll have more chances to win, starting with Matinere on Air at 9 o'clock here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's talk a bit about cybersecurity here, and we'll talk about it from a few different standpoints, things that we can do personally, but especially things that businesses can do to provide security for themselves, but frankly, for their reputation as well, and maybe things that government leaders could be doing in an age where AI, artificial intelligence, is becoming more and more prevalent, and provides a lot of opportunities. It also provides a lot of risks that we need to know about. Raul Pavar is with RedSift. He has a rather fascinating resume in high-tech development and security. Folks would recognize part of his early work as part of the founding team and the principal technical architect for Shazam back in 2000, building the first Shazam iPhone app alongside other systems that are related to music recognition and more. And then along with other roles over the years, he now has a cybersecurity company, RedSift, as part of his personal dedication to making the internet safer. And he joins us this morning to talk about AI and, again, keeping ourselves as safe as possible when we're online. Raul Pavar, good morning. Thank you for being here today.
Hey, good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you here. And like I said, you have a lot of experience that you've now dedicated toward internet safety, and a lot of your work is geared on the business side. So we will come to the personal side and maybe the government side as well. But from a business standpoint, the thing that jumped out at me was the way that a lot of what's letting bad individuals in and work on things like, you know, phishing emails and things are when companies have what are called forgotten subdomains that were mistakenly left in their systems and that other, you know, other actors can take advantage of. So it sounds like you're really specializing in ways that businesses are unwittingly providing avenues for bad actors to come in and do things to the business or to their customers. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's right. I think most of your listeners would probably recognize the fact that there is an awful lot of phishing and fraud and impersonation going on online, whether that's, you know, from their banking partners, their healthcare providers. And this is actually happening all around the world. And that's mainly driven by a couple of things. And one of them is that organizations have a really hard time getting their hands around all of this infrastructure that they now have out on the internet that's communicating with their customers, with their supply chains. And bad actors are looking for all kinds of weaknesses that they can use to impersonate that organization, abuse that trust and relationship that they developed with their customers and the general public, and use that for, you know, some sort of nefarious activity.
And the reason that that's important, one of many, though, is that it doesn't take much for trust to be violated if you're a business, a small business, big business, whatever the case, that, you know, you may have thought that you had nothing to do with, a phishing campaign that uses your company's name, but your company's name can get besmirched in a hurry nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, in most surveys that are conducted, roughly 75% of customers will cut ties with a brand after a major cyber incident. And many of those customers will actually blame the company, not the attackers, ironically enough, for, you know, not keeping the house in order or basically not having the securities that are required to prevent these types of attacks from being effective. In some cases, that is unfair. I mean, a lot of organizations do have, you know, are under an enormous amount of strain, and cyber attackers are looking for any kind of weakness that they can find. But the reality is that, you know, these things happen, and when they happen, the impact of that can be quite significant.
We're talking to Rahul Pawar. He's the founder of RedSift, an internet security company, about AI and deepfakes and phishing expeditions and things like that. And so let's talk not so much about the big businesses. A lot of them, well, they're aware of things. They have their own challenges. And certainly I know as a legislator, once upon a time, you know, working with state government, and I was blown away at the statistics on just how many attacks any given corporate system is getting on any given day that you have to fend off. But apart from government and big business, when you look at some of these, you know, medium-sized businesses, however you want to define them, I'm sure that it's one thing they didn't think that they'd have to think about, and probably to them sounds like, I don't want to say an unnecessary expense, but I'm sure they wonder about the return on investment. So when you're working on businesses that aren't, you know, say in the Fortune 500, what do you tell them about the need to make those investments in the cybersecurity of their business?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So naturally, I'm a technologist, so, you know, I feel pretty comfortable with technology. But there are lots of businesses, you know, all the way from, you know, regional banks and healthcare providers to, you know, someone who runs an e-commerce shop online in their particular niche. A lot of those businesses don't realize that they're actually pretty digital today, because they acquire customers through digital channels, they manage their internal systems of HR and payroll and their banking systems, all of that online, really, in 2025. So many businesses just haven't gotten around the mindset that actually, whether, you know, whatever they may have done, you know, the last 100 years, these days, a lot of their risk is actually in the digital domain. And this is particularly true of those medium-sized businesses, those regional businesses that are out there. And they need to think about their cybersecurity, their internet security, in very much the same way as they think about their physical security. And the way they rationalize those physical security investments, they've got to extend that to the digital domain, because the impact of getting it wrong over there is actually pretty significant for everyone today.
Well, and that's where, in looking at your website, redsift.com, I took note of, you know, the need to fight AI with AI. The note here says, effective defense requires AI tools that can scan the full attack surface, detect deepfakes and lookalike domains, prioritize the most dangerous threats, and drastically cut the need for manual triage workloads. That's a very in-depth way of saying it used to be really easy to spot phishing. I mean, people still fell for it, but it was, you know, dear customer and things like that. And now, essentially, because they're using AI, you're saying AI has to be part of the toolkit for fighting the worst tools that AI can put out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, about 10 years ago, most people would train their employees that, you know, if you want to spot phishing, look for misspellings, look for bad English. Nowadays, pretty much every bad actor has access to some sort of AI that's going to bang out perfect personalized English for, you know, to target end customers. There's going to be AI that's going to spin up websites that look exactly like your bank, exactly like your healthcare provider, except all the links and buttons that point to various types of nefarious services. So this is really being industrialized and superpowered through the use of AI. And I think it's unrealistic to expect society, really, businesses, governments, to fight this with just pure human capital. It just isn't a very scalable solution. So us and, you know, a whole bunch of other businesses are out there trying to put AI tools into the hands of the defenders so that they can address some of these challenges in the same level of efficiency and scale that the attackers have access to today.
So, again, fighting AI with AI, you want to be fighting against, hackers and others on a level playing field. Is there anything in the notion of policy that either, a federal government like Congress or state governments at the legislative level, are there things that they can do to improve the situation as well? Or at this point, is public policy essentially powerless when you've got this much high tech, that's already floating out there, changing and evolving every day?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I don't think there's a short answer to that, but I'll try my best. There are a whole bunch of technical solutions that are out there that can keep the general public safe, and a few of them have actually been mandated. So, there's some federal legislation that requires organizations to keep an inventory of all their digital assets, to implement certain protocols that help harden this attack surface against this type of impersonation. But it's quite limited in scope. It only hits, certain types of organizations that are critical national infrastructure or federal government itself. I think rolling that out to, as you mentioned before, the thousands and thousands of mid-market businesses that are out there that handle sensitive data like healthcare or financial data, those sorts of organizations should also probably have some sort of requirement to do the minimum that is required to stay secure online today. But that's taking a long time to really go through at any level of scale.
We're talking to Rahul Pawar from RedSift about AI and cybersecurity. We have spent a lot of time on the email and the phishing end of things. So many people are vulnerable to just clicking on the wrong thing, trusting an email too much. But from the standpoint of AI, there's also what's being done with deep fakes in terms of video and audio, but especially video. There was a report over the weekend about President Trump apparently essentially responding to a video that turned out to be a deep fake video. And I guess there are people that would want to throw up their hands and say, well, I can't believe anything I see if I can't trust that, a video isn't a deep fake. But I don't think the answer is to throw your computer in the garbage. can you help us try to navigate an era of deep fakes and try to be more mindful or just eternally cynical about what we see?
Yeah, I think for now, eternally cynical is a reasonable default setting when you're browsing the internet or media. To be fair, people don't fully understand just how easy and how effective the tools are today to generate these types of, still images and video. I mean, everyone appreciates that AI models can generate some pretty compelling text, but the technology has evolved so rapidly over the last year and year and a half that you can pretty much generate very, very convincing looking deepfakes based on a voice clone or an image of another person. So I think, making sure that you do your research, check the background, don't trust everything that you see online, because it is extremely straightforward and easy for a bad actor to produce something that's very visually compelling in a very short space of time. I am optimistic that the technology will get better. I think we're getting better at detecting some of this stuff now. And so now over time, I expect it'll be easier for us to identify what is, quote unquote, real and what is not. But this is an arms race that's live at the moment.
Oh, very much so. And so folks could learn more over at redsift.com. That's R-E-D-S-I-F-T, redsift.com/resource-center. And is there any other final quick words for people individually to feel at least a little bit better about how to navigate the online world these days?
Yeah, I think individually choices are limited because ultimately it's down to the organizations to really harden their tax surface and make it more difficult and more expensive for the bad actors to do this. But I would recommend that individuals stay paranoid when, especially when they're looking at text messages and emails. You know, if your bank suddenly asks you to do something really unexpected at a really unexpected time, it's likely to be a fake.
Exactly. Rahul Pawar, thank you very much for the visit and for the advice. It's much appreciated. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And again, redsif.com is the website to go to on that. We'll be talking to author Laura Bird and a fire teacher from Ellsworth over her comments about the Charlie Kirk killing. That's all coming up yet. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the patriotic millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning. Residents, families, staff, and community partners of Pine Valley Community Village are being notified that routine water testing at Pine Valley has detected the presence of E. coli bacteria in the water supply. The health and safety of residents and staff are of top priority. As soon as the test results were received, officials took immediate precautionary measures, including notifying the local health department, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and the Department of Natural Resources. implementing water safety protocols, including the use of bottled water for drinking and food preparation, bathing, and other needs at this time. Contracts with Safe Water will continue to supply to ensure the safety of everyone. Providing clear guidance to staff and residents to ensure compliance with safety measures and arranging for remediation and follow-up testing in accordance with regulatory guidelines. Handouts have been given to each resident, and POAs have been notified as well. At this time, no illnesses related to this finding have been reported at Pine Valley Community Village. All residents will continue to be monitored closely, and families will be kept updated. Officials with Pine Valley are working closely with local and state health authorities to ensure the safety of the water supply and will provide further updates as soon as test results confirm the water is safe for normal use. The DNR will be out within 30 days to complete a Level 2 assessment to locate any further issues within the water system and help create a plan that ensures the quality of water is restored and maintained. If you have questions or concerns, contact Brittany Paulus, LNHA, at 608-647-2138. That's 647-2138. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office reports that Gavin Thompson has been transported from Nebraska and is in custody at the Iowa County Jail. Thompson was apprehended following an endangered missing person investigation in Dodgeville. The Dodgeville Police Department responded to a welfare check in the city of Dodgeville on July 15th for Dorinda Sedgebreck. Her vehicle was not located at the scene and a public notification was issued. Investigators discovered that the vehicle was possibly in the state of Nebraska, and information was relayed to the Nebraska State Patrol. On July 16th, the Nebraska State Trooper spotted the vehicle on I-80 in Lincoln. The trooper attempted a traffic stop, which resulted in a vehicle pursuit ending when the vehicle crashed and the driver, identified as Gavin Thompson, 23 of Dodgeville, fled on foot and was subsequently arrested and transported to the Lancaster County Jail in Nebraska. The body of Dorinda Sedgebreck, 67 of Dodgeville, was located in the vehicle. Gavin Thompson faces four felony charges of first-degree intentional homicide, burglary armed with a dangerous weapon, taking and driving a vehicle without consent, and hiding a corpse. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee approved to move forward with a public hearing on the proposed 2026 county budget at the County Board of Supervisors meeting on Monday, October 20th. The 2026 budget includes revenues from the county sales tax in the estimated amount of $1.6 million and that the sum of $10,820,031 would be levied upon all taxable property in Richland County for county purposes. Interim Ambulance Director Barb Scott submitted a report to the committee that the current staffing in the ambulance department has reached a critical point, compromising both safety and the ability to maintain services. They are actively advertising and interviewing, but are struggling to recruit qualified candidates. They are competing with other services who are offering large bonuses and compensation packages. Scott suggested an educational offering to staff in exchange for an 18-month commitment. The department has added verbiage for 24 hours per month call coverage, commitment, and also verbiage regarding passing the registry exam. The Executive and Finance Committee approved sending the request to the full Board of Supervisors for action. A Dane County dog breeder has rejected a $55,000 fine from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Ridgeland Farms, which breeds beagle puppies for scientific research, was fined by DATCAP for alleged animal welfare violations related to surgeries performed on beagles. Most of the violations involve a procedure known as cherry eye surgery, which removes a third eye gland. Ridgeland Farms says it did not allow unlicensed employees to perform the surgeries, or if they did, regulations allowed it. According to state law, DATCAP can't enforce crimes against animals that would be up to local law enforcement.
SSM Health St. Clair Hospital Baraboo leaders recognize two exceptional caregivers for their outstanding contributions to patient care and the community. Holly McMillan, RN, was honored with the Daisy Award. She is a cornerstone of the emergency department, known for her calm demeanor, quick thinking, and unwavering commitment to her patients. Whether caring for a sick child, managing a trauma case, or supporting a colleague, Holly consistently delivers high-quality, compassionate care. Soroya Frosch received the B Award. She is the welcoming face of the Radiation Oncology Department, and her impact on patients is profound. Known for her warm smile and genuine kindness, Soroya goes out of her way to connect with every patient, offering comfort and support during challenging times. Members of the public are invited to nominate outstanding SSM Health caregivers. The Daisy Award is an international program that rewards and celebrates the extraordinary clinical skill and compassionate care delivered by nurses. The B Award is special recognition for staff members who demonstrate great teamwork and communication skills, compassion, collaboration, professionalism, exemplary service, and a commitment to excellence. Nomination forms for both awards are available on SSMHealth.com. Laura Benjamin has suspended her campaign for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd District, citing the significant resources required to run a competitive race while celebrating the progress her campaign has made in shaping the political conversation across the district. Benjamin said, quote, "From the very beginning, this campaign has been about everyday working people and moving toward bold, progressive solutions. I'm proud that we've inspired new conversations among Democrats in the Wisconsin 3rd about the fight for economic and social justice," end quote. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police just south of Flint, Michigan, say an ex-Marine smashed his pickup into an LDS church, opened fire, and set the building ablaze. At least 4 people were killed on Sunday morning. The gunman also dead after a shootout with police. Democratic and Republican congressional leaders headed to the White House today. ABC's Rachel Scott in Washington.
The president had originally canceled a meeting with top Democrats. Now that is back on. So the first time since taking office in January, the president will be sitting down with the top 4 congressional leaders on both sides of the aisle at the White House in just a few hours. And the stakes could not be higher. We are just 2 days out from a government shutdown.
President Trump also meets today with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House. Luxury real estate developer Dar Global entering an agreement with the Trump Organization to build another Trump-branded property in Saudi Arabia. NFL announcing Bad Bunny will be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl this year in Northern California. This is